So that is Psalm 84. And so we see here we have another psalm of the sons of Korah. We saw this psalm of the sons of Korah back in Psalm 42. So as a reminder, they were of the tribe of Levi. Their duty was to be the gatekeepers of the temple, so they prevented anybody from going into the temple that was not supposed to be there. So the temple was where Israel worshipped God. It was God's dwelling place. And there were three times a year that foreigners would come and travel to come and worship God at the temple. And it was to commemorating three of the appointed feasts. Foreigners. So Gentiles, if they were Gentiles who had converted over to Judaism, but Israel, yeah. And so the foreigners that live in a distant land, there were three times of year that they would come to Jerusalem to celebrate three appointed feasts to worship in God's temple. And so these feasts were the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering. And so it was during those times that they would travel to Jerusalem, celebrate these feasts, and to worship God. So this psalm is a psalm of praise. It could also be an anticipation of praise who are making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship God. So there was this longing, as we see in our psalm, for the psalmist to dwell in God's presence, because Israel believed at this time that as long as the temple stood, God's dwelling place was with them, providing them with security, providing them with peace and provision. And so our psalmist portrays this longing for God's dwelling place. In our psalm, it says in verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. The courts here is where the people would go and worship God. There were two courts. There were the courts of the Gentiles that the Gentiles would worship in, and then there were the inner courts where the Jews would go and worship God. So a similar desire is expressed in the beginning of Psalm 42, the same psalm of the sons of Korah. In verse 2 of that psalm, it says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So their deepest desire was to dwell in God's presence. They say in verse 10 of our psalm, for a day, just to have one day in your court is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. They would rather be standing on the outside of God's temple than dwelling in the midst of evil, than dwelling in the midst of evil men. The people of Israel at this time were unable to go into God's presence because there's a barrier. They had to stand on the outside of God's temple to worship. They could not go inside. And it was only one time of year that the high priest would go inside of the temple to make a sacrifice on behalf of the people. But before he could go inside, he had to go through a strict purification ritual himself. He had to atone for his own sins before he could atone for the sins of others. And so the Lord would not allow the priest to enter into his presence without first having been made clean himself. And where these earthly high priests failed and were unable to deliver, we were delivered a greater high priest whose name is Jesus Christ. So as it says in Hebrews 7, 26 through 27, for it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, and separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily. First for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. So why was it necessary for Jesus to become our high priest? Because a righteous God cannot dwell in the midst of a sinful people. God was holy and righteous, and his standard was perfection. And he could not dwell in the midst of a people who was sinful. And so there had to be that mediation between him and a sinful people. But God, in his mercy and grace at the time of Israel, provided that mediation, an imperfect mediation. He did so through the priest, the priestly system. But now we have the greater high priest who stands between us and the Heavenly Father, who allows us to be able to come into his presence. He was one of us, yet separated from sinners. He died as though he was a sinner, yet he was innocent in our unstained lamb to atone for our sins in full. And now he stands exalted above the heavens, between us and God as our heavenly high priest, so that the holy God could dwell in the hearts of his sinful people. So now we have access into his full presence, into the dwelling place of God. We come into the Holy of Holies because of the mediation of Christ. He is our refuge now. A pilgrimage is no longer necessary because Christ made that pilgrimage to the cross for us. We no longer have to make that pilgrimage to go and worship God. God is with us in the midst of our pilgrimage of life. Wherever we go, wherever we're at, God is always dwelling with us. God is our eternal dwelling place now, in the midst of every trial and tribulation, who promised to us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. And so as we get into our psalm, consider with me verses 1 through 4. He says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." And then in verse 2, we see this intense longing. He says, "My soul longs, my soul faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God." So he knew the loveliness of the Lord because he had tasted of the Lord and seen how delightful he truly was to him. It says in Psalm 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man who takes refuge in him." The psalmist's soul longed to take refuge in the dwelling place of God. He had tasted of the Lord's presence before and knew that nothing else could satisfy this longing of his. His soul had fainted to be in the courts of the Lord, just standing on the outside of the temple to worship God. Because on the outside of the Lord's presence, he was filled with weakness. And his strength was only renewed when he dwelt in the Lord's presence. He says in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God." As the deer's thirst is satisfied with the streams of water, so his soul is satisfied with streams of living water that come from above. The Lord's presence alone filled him. The Lord's presence alone satisfied him. and cured his longing with an uncontained joy. There is a paradox to the Christian life that though we are always longing for the Lord, but yet we can always be satisfied in him. That in the Lord's presence, we always want more of him, yet still, but fully satisfied in him. That the Lord fully satisfied every need of ours, but yet there's still this desire to always want more of him. As a result, he says in verse 2 of our text, because he was satisfied with the Lord, the Lord had filled him, my heart and my flesh, sing for joy to the living God. This inward dwelling of the Lord just could not be contained. This joy of the Lord that was inside of him could not be contained. This is a divine joy that cannot be faked. It cannot be contained, but it overflowed into an outward display from the abundance of an inward fulfillment of joy from being in the dwelling place of God. This is a joy that is not found in the circumstances of life that change and never stay the same. It is an abiding joy in the living God, the giver of true life, who always remains the same despite our ever-changing circumstances. And so what was the reason for this uncontained joy for the psalmist? How was he able to say, my heart and my flesh, everything about him sang for joy? I find the reason in Psalm 98. It gives us a fitting answer for this. So Psalm 98, verses 1 through 3, it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for because he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. The psalmist had remembered and seen the steadfast love and the salvation of his God, and he was filled. He found joy. Though his heart and flesh may fail and the circumstances of life, the Lord's love never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And so, as a result of how great his God was to him, so great was the joy that could not be contained. I can't help but think of John Piper's most famous quote, God is most glorified in us when we are, that's right, most satisfied in him. So now we have to ask the question for ourselves, what brings us our most satisfaction? What fills us? What brings us the most joy in this life? What is your deepest longing? Where do you long to dwell? Is your life characterized by an uncontained joy in the midst of suffering? Can we say that we are most satisfied in him, or are we still holding on to our unfulfilled desires and dreams? Does our heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God? Or are we still trying to fill our hearts with the things of this world, hoping that these things will satisfy our needs? Do we find rest that the Lord holds tomorrow in his hand? Or do we become anxious about what the needs of the tomorrow hold? Are we trying to circumvent the Lord's will in our life and trying to control the outcome of tomorrow for ourselves? Where do we find rest in this life? Do we find that He is sovereign over all things? Do we find joy in every circumstance of life, even if everything is removed? He alone can fill our needs. He alone can. And so for the psalmist goes on to say in verses 3 through 4, even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed, happy are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. So if the birds of the air who are not made in the image of God find a home near the temple of the Lord, and the Lord does not cast them out, how much more will His children have a home in His presence if we have been made in His